This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. For all the dynamic food activists who make Detroit their home, the city is still without a Black-owned grocery store, but that is going to change. The Detroit People's Food Co-op has plans to open in 2022, providing fresh food and more in a planned North End space. The organizers have passed some big milestones lately in their process. We're so glad to welcome Malik Yakini back to the show to fill us in. He's a founding member of the collective that's bringing the co-op to life, and he also leads the Detroit Black Community Food Security Network. Malik, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Hanging in. Also with us today is Jerry Hebron. She runs 6 acres of land in the north end of Detroit, the Oakland Avenue Farm. She's one of the vendors who will be providing produce for the co-op and has been involved in other ways as well. Jerry, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to start out with a question to you, Malik. You've been in the food space in Detroit for decades, both through the network and D-Town Farms, and all that is adjacent and surrounding that work. Let's talk a little bit about the place that the Commons and that will be the home to the co-op, what structural place you see that occupying in all the work that you've done over the years.
Well, first, let me say that I've been involved in food work maybe for 20 years or so, 21, 22, something like that. I've been an activist for decades, but my activism was not primarily food focused until 21 or 22 years ago. The Detroit Food Commons, we feel, will play a major role in the Detroit food landscape for a number of reasons. One, it's going to be a full service grocery store in Detroit's North End, where right now there's only one option, which is not really a good option. In fact, it's been the subject of some community protests because of the way the customers are treated, and also because of selling outdated food. So there's a huge need in the North End for a grocery store that's full service and sells high quality food. Secondly, it will be a place where farms like Oakland Avenue Urban Farm and other urban farms in the city of Detroit will have a consistent retail location to sell produce at on a scale that has not previously existed. And so we see this as being a catalyst for the urban agriculture movement in the city of Detroit as well. And then finally, the ownership structure is different. And we're very careful in terms of how we characterize the Detroit People's Food Co-op. And we say that it's a Black-led business, but a cooperative is owned by many, many people. And currently there are 1,270 member owners of the Detroit People's Food Co-op. They are not all Black. And so we're careful about characterizing it as Black-owned. That's partially true. But what is totally true is that it's a Black-led co-op. And so this collective ownership model, we think, is also important as a game changer, because typically what we see happening in Detroit is development is led by very wealthy white men. And then the rest of us are supposed to see it as being progress, that they build these edifices that they own, and then we can walk into and spend our money. And so this is also game changing in terms of putting forward another model of economic development, which is based on collective ownership as opposed to individual ownership.
Jerry Hebron, I want to turn to you for a moment. Do you mind telling the story of how you ended up in the neighborhood and how long you've been living there?
Actually, my family migrated to the North End back in the 50s. So I started out living here as a child, and then we migrated to the northwest side of Detroit, which is where I spent the next 4 decades of my life, raising my family, you know, and my, having my career. My mom, who was the pastor of St. John Evangelist Temple of Truth and School of Wisdom, and that's located on Oakland Avenue, right adjacent to the farm, has been the pastor of that church for 35 years. And it was through her request that I came back to the neighborhood in 2008 to actually work and kind of identify with the needs of this community were at that time.
We should say that you served as the executive director of the North End Christian CDC. That was the role
that is true. That is the role that she asked me to fulfill. And It was kind of new for me working in the nonprofit environment because I come from a real estate background. But in any event, the food, housing, and jobs was what was needed. And the church was adjacent to 10 vacant lots on Oakland Avenue. So the community came together, said, we need to have a beautiful spot on Oakland. We can do that by building out a garden with flowers and food and fulfill the need of food insecurity in this community. And so that's really how we started.
What will a co-op in the area mean to your operation?
You know what? That's a game changer because, as Baba Malik mentioned, there is a grocery store in this neighborhood that was here when I was a child, and my mother wouldn't shop there. And people in this community have kind of become dependent on that grocery store being here and providing the food that they could get, you know? I mean, right. That's just what was available. The People's Co-op, being in this community, is a new development by Black people, by a Black-led organization. That is huge. The second thing is being able to provide a variety of fresh food options across the scale, grains, all types of commodities that, you know, a consumer can need, as well as the commercial kitchen, the programming. You know, there is a membership charge, but the Detroit Black Community Food Security Network, also the People's Co-op, has provided scholarships for community folks who could not afford to pay for the membership. It's exciting, and I can't wait for it to happen.
Malik, you already have more than 1,200 people who have not just indicated they're interested, but have put down some money for a membership to make this happen. This is amazing. Any business owner would love to have so many committed customers before opening even happens. Can you tell us a bit about who's bought in already and who you're hoping will join in going forward?
You know, we really haven't tracked demographically or racially or by age, the people who have joined. So it's hard to tell you. But again, we're expecting to have about at least 2,000 by the time we open the door. And so you label them as customers, which, yes, they will be customers. But more importantly, they are owners of the business. And that's the thing that distinguishes a co-op from, you know, a more traditional business, a sole proprietorship or partnership or corporation, that it's owned broadly. And so yes, the 1,270 member owners will be part of our customer base. But we also want to make it clear that you don't have to be a member owner to shop at the store. The store is open to anyone who wants to open that door and come in and see the bounty that awaits them. And so it's both, you know, a community-owned store, but it's a store that's open to anyone, whether you're an owner or not.
Sure. This space, the Commons and the Co-op, is a project many years in the making. But now that we're getting closer, there's also this national conversation going on about equity and justice for Black people. And obviously, this is a commanding conversation in Detroit. Could you talk a little bit about how what's been going on in the rest of the country and the community, how that's impacted your plans for opening?
Yeah, so on a couple levels, the events of the last 2 years have impacted us. First of all, with the pandemic, at the beginning of the pandemic, last March, plenty of people saw on the news empty grocery store shelves, or perhaps experienced that when they went into grocery stores that they shop at. And so many people realized the fragility of the food system. And so I can tell you that I got more calls in March, April, and May of last year from people wanting to start gardens than I've gotten in the last 5 years, because people were looking for options. They saw how fragile the current food system is.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result of that, we saw a surge in the membership, the member ownership for the Detroit People's Food Co-op. We started 2020 in January with 450 members, and that had taken us, member owners, that had taken us from July of 2014 until January of 2020 to get that those 450. Since January of 2020, we now have 1,270 members. Secondly, after the police murder of George Floyd and the protests throughout the country, many people in America began to reckon with the issue that many of us have been organizing around for decades now, and that is racial justice in American society, and particularly in regard to policing. But that increased awareness on the part of a broad cross-section of people in America, and that includes foundations, it includes educational institutions, it includes corporations. Everyone, I think, was looking at how they could either actually be more racially just in their practices, or at the very least, appear to support racial justice. But nevertheless, that reckoning was tremendously positive for us also, because we were in a position where we kind of brought together these elements of racial justice and food equity. And so we became much more inviting for philanthropy. And so we saw a tremendous upswing in both donations and in grants that we were able to get in the last half of 2020. And in fact, in the last 8 months or so, we've been able to nail down about $5 million in additional funding from local foundations. And I can almost assure you that would not have happened if it weren't for the police murder of George Floyd and the protests that followed. But the pandemic caused construction costs to go up tremendously. And so the estimate that we got for building the Detroit Food Commons in 2019 increased by $2.7 million by January of 2021. And we still have enough money in place to begin construction. The construction is not going to be halted. But before we open the Detroit Food Commons and Detroit People's Food Co-op, we do have to have a significant amount of money in place that's not currently in place. So the increase of building materials created about a $2.7 million gap for the Detroit Food Commons, which we are working daily to fill.
What a path. If you're just joining us, my guests today are Malik Yakini. He's a board member at Detroit People's Food Co-op. He's also executive director of the Detroit Black Community Food Security Network. And we also have Jerry Hebron, executive director of Oakland Avenue Urban Farms. She will be one of the co-op's vendors. Jerry, you mentioned the fact a little while ago that your prior life was in real estate, and your work in the Community Development Corporation kept you in a place to watch what was going on with that. I wanted to ask you about what you observed in 2008, the last big crisis that most of us now remember. What parallels do you see between what happened then and what's going on right now in the community with the pandemic?
In 2008, the mortgage crisis put me out of business. You know, I literally had to close my office. And actually, I got to say, April 2008 was when the reality set in. But we started seeing changes in the mortgage industry, because I also did mortgages in the early part of 2007, not totally understanding what was happening, but the subprime business became the dominant lender, primarily for Black people, people of color. Well, we didn't realize that that was setting people up for failure until the beginning of 2008. And then by October of 2008, I was out of business because the bottom fell out. People started not being able to pay their mortgages, and the foreclosure rate excelled. And primarily, it devastated people of color more. And with this pandemic, it's the unemployment rate, you know, the unemployment being the greatest impact on people of color, because a lot of our communities are low income wage earners, and they have to go to work. But when these companies close down, you know, many of them didn't have the options that some other folks have. What we noticed is that the food insecurity increased because people were not working, able to work, and housing needs increase. So it's very similar in terms of the impact on people of color of what happened back in 2008.
This is all really catalytic stuff, but it is not the first food cooperative in Detroit. Malik, as we wrap this up, could you maybe remind us of some of the spaces that, you know, set the stage for what's happening today with the co-op in the Commons?
In terms of the history of food co-ops in Detroit, the most recent food co-op that many people are aware of was called the Cass Corridor Food Co-op, which was for many years on the corner of Cass and Willis. They had actually maybe three different locations during the 30 some years they were in existence, but it was a vibrant community institution where people would go to get healthier food options. And that was in a time when the co-op was almost the only place you could go to get things like brown rice and tofu and bulk honey and things like that. But it was also a place where people would go to kind of meet and greet their friends. And so it had a social function too, in the same way that a marketplace and an African society might have. But there were other co-ops. There was a co-op called the 3 for 3 co-op in Highland Park on Hamilton in the 1970s. There was a co-op in Conant Gardens in the 1940s that was run by Black folks. And I'll say even further than that, that outside of Detroit, co-ops have been a tool that Black people have used since chattel slavery ended in order to galvanize our collective wealth and to build power in the face of an economic system which is hell-bent on keeping us out of the mainstream economy. And in fact, the great anti-lynching crusader Ida B. Wells wrote her first anti-lynching article after the three operators of the People's Grocery in Memphis were lynched. And the People's Grocery was a cooperative grocery store. And we still have the same problem. We still have this continuing legacy of white supremacy and racial discrimination, and the continuing legacy of concentration of capital in the hands of white people. So cooperatives become a means for us to collectively lift up our communities.
Malik Yakini is a board member at Detroit People's Food Co-op. He's also executive director of the Detroit Black Community Food Security Network. We've also been talking with Oakland Avenue Urban Farms executive director Jerry Hebron. Jerry, Malik, it's great to hear your voices, and we're so excited to hear things are moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me today.